torches, fire hats, and we're going to pray and praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege that we can gather in a name that is far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning that your ear is ever open to their cry. Lord, that your arm's not shortened. But Lord, you ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And Father, we come this morning pleading the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb. We come from your footstool into your throne room and into your presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. We thank you that your blood is called precious. The precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without spot or blemish. You are the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Omnipotent One. There is no other like you, Lord. None your equal, none your match. Your name's far above every other name. Lord, we have gathered in your name, and you promised you will be in the midst, and that to bless us. We thank you for the blessing. We praise you. We magnify you. Lord, I pray you'll touch hearts, oh God. Touch that sister in the name of Jesus. Touch that brother, Lord, that boy, that girl in the name of the Lord. Father, for all those needing a miracle, you are a miracle worker. We lift Davy Jones again before you this morning, and we pray for a move of God on his life in the name of Jesus. Lord, for others that need your touch in the name of Jesus, we're asking you, O God, to intervene. Lord, I do take the promised Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you that you do. I pray you bless your word to each and every one in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord bless each one this morning. You may be seated. Praise God. I don't want to be too long this morning because we want to do communion. Just to say, I went to see Davy Jones yesterday. I got a phone call on, maybe it was Friday. I'm not sure, maybe it was Friday, from the chaplain up in the hospital, because when they moved David to this hospital, you can't just go in as you want. It has to be arranged, and you have to wear different things and take a flow test and all them different things. And the chaplain from up there rang me, and I said, you know, that's fine, you know, whatever has to be done, I don't mind, you know, it's not going to make any difference. So I ended up going to the wrong hospital. Now, I went to Daisy Hill. I didn't realize there's two hospitals in Newry. One's a hospice, one's a hospital. I didn't actually know that. And I've helped raise money for the hospice for years through the Pigeon Club. And the Pigeon Club this year raised $20,000 for the hospice just this year. But eventually I got there anyhow, and we got in and everything, and I met the people I was meant to meet. And you know, it's a wonderful facility for cancer patients. And I know a lot of people said bad things about it, but I can't agree with any of them. I've been there and seen it, and I'm telling you, it's a great place for people that's got cancer. And Davy Jones looked well. He looked better than what he looked when I saw him on Monday night. And that was just yesterday. And I read with him, you know, I've list of scriptures that I wrote out some years ago, and all of it's about different scriptures on healing and things like that, and I just read them, and I read him a lot of scriptures and prayed with him and everything. He's very responsive. He knew everything, and he wasn't out of it or anything like that. And we're just praying and believing God. It's in God's hands, and we're just praying and believing the Lord. And I just thank the Lord for a place like the hospice. You know, it's great. You know, when you think of this here, I want you to think of this. Some of you mightn't really fully get this. But you know, we talk about wonderful men of God, and we know William Branham had a ministry second to none. There's nobody else today has a ministry like the ministry William Branham had. And I believe that he was a messenger sent from God, prophet. And I'll never change in that. But you think of this here. The angel said to him, not even cancer will stand before your prayers if you're sincere. And yet with all that man said, with the gift and all he had, he said, I pray every day they'll find a cure for cancer. And you think of the gift that man had. And that's what he said. And the cancer is a real pandemic in this country. It's not COVID or any of them other things. It's cancer. So many people are dying with cancer. Now, only my own view, I'm not saying I'm right, but I think it's a lot to do with what we're eating. That's my own opinion. People mightn't agree with that. I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm telling you, everything we're eating spread. Yes. Spread and spread and spread. And I worked in orchards for several winters with a fella pruning the orchards. And I know there's other brother here can agree. You know, see, for years I thought I was allergic to eating apples. But I'm not allergic to eating apples. But I was allergic to what was on the apple, not the apple. But if I eat an apple from the shop in about 20 minutes, I'd feel really sick. Still to this day, I'd feel sick. And then when I got to working in the orchards, and you want to see a day putting them apple trees, and they put it on them all constant, thousands of pounds are spent in orchards spraying the apples. And I'll tell you one thing, that's poison. The fellow that sprayed, he says, Tom, if you were to get that in your lungs, what I'm spraying on them trees, it'd kill you stone dead. But it's going on them apples. And the best thing, you need to wash them well. Wash everything or peel them, you know, but definitely. And everything to see them. See, you go to the shop, you know, I'm not ridiculing any of you sisters, and I don't want you to think that. But you know a big mistake modern people make? They go in for vegetables and they want the clean ones. Them's the ones you shouldn't buy. I'm serious. See the ones with soil and stuff on them? Them's the ones you want to take home with you. Honestly. See them nice pink? See them carrots that's beautiful and orange looking? They're bleached. Because I know a fella works that does that. And he told me how they do it. And they bleach them so that they look so beautifully and clean. But they're bleached. But the one you get with the soil and all on it, some fella's pulled it out of the ground, it's fresh. It's a bit of soil on it. And I'll tell you, you clean it, you know, but this is not really what I preached about this morning. I don't know why I've said that, but anyhow. And but look, we need to be praying that and anything that can help is good, is not right. And pray for the nurses and doctors. They do a tremendous work. Really, I feel for them, you know. And I was really impressed with up there. It's a small place, like it's not big. But I was impressed with it, and I got to see David, and I'm praying for them. A couple rang me yesterday, a Christian couple. One of them, they've known David a long time. They wanted to know, was he saved? They said they talked to him some time back, and it didn't seem like he was saved. Well, David told me he is saved. And I know Ian knows him a long time. He told him he's saved. And he told us how he got saved. So because somebody's not a regular church goer doesn't mean they're not saved. Going to church doesn't save. Amen. Going to Jesus saves. Amen. That's what saves you. Going to Jesus. You need to, it's good to go to church, but it's going to the Lord that saves. So, you know, I believe he's ready in the sense that people say that, and I know it's a... When he, you know, one preacher said, I wish you could go home now tonight, and he's about the age of me. He says, you know, I'm ready, I wish you could go home tonight. Well, I know harm to you. I'm not wishing I'll go home tonight to heaven. I want to do a bit more yet. Amen. Maybe some people wish they want to go on. But I'll tell you one thing. I want to see God reaching people before I go. I want to see my children saved. Amen. Power of God. Amen. I'm not ready to go yet. Oh, I'm saved and I'm ready that road. I'm not talking about that. I want to see God do something. Amen. Amen. Who wants to see God do something? Amen. Hallelujah. I can't get out of my head all week. How many saw the video of the woman, the wee woman? She's a full-grown woman in the video, but she was a child. But Jesus stepped out of the cloud and he healed her.
Amen.
Now that done something for me hearing that. Because he went up on the cloud. He's coming in the cloud. And he stepped out of it and healed her. Every fibre of her body, her, all her bones and everything, the Lord healed her. And I tell you, God can do that for anybody. Amen. Let's turn to the Word of God, and I want to read Exodus 28. And I want to talk about a bit this morning, this evening. And keep praying for Brother David. And pray for Eiling as well, you know. Eiling's not a warrior. Eiling is a warrior.
Amen.
And I didn't say that. Ian told her to put that, to fix them words.
Amen.
But he told her the truth. So she says that now. She says, I'm not a warrior, Brother Tom. I'm a warrior.
Amen.
I said, praise God.
Amen.
And she is. So you don't want to be worrying. You want to be a warrior.
Amen.
You don't want to be distressed. You want to be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you've come in heavy this morning, I want you to go out light.
Amen.
If you come in burdened, I want you to go out free. And I want us to look at the Lord this morning. Praise God. The holy garments of the high priest. And, you know, there's so many things in this. And we'll just go as the Lord leads this morning. Exodus 28, verse 2 and verse 40 of Exodus 28. Just for reading. And you can go through more scriptures yourself. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Verse 40, and for Aaron's sons, that shall make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, bonnets, shalt thou make for them for the glory and for beauty. These are the garments I want to talk about this morning. And this is following on the different things of tabernacle, and think of what's already been preached on the silver. I might mention something linking to that this morning. But all this is a picture that God has given us of Christ. Seven special articles of clothing and ornaments composed the official apparel of the high priest in the Old Testament. The robe, the embroidered coat, the ephod, the belt of the ephod, the breastplate, the mitre, and the diadem. And then you could go right down to them garments at the bottom. And at the bottom of them garments, there's golden bells and there's pomegranates. And every single part of that high priest's garment speaks to me of Christ. And I've studied it and read it before and before and before, and I don't know how long. And every time I look at it again, I see it again. More again. And this Bible is an unending, continuous revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This shows us the Lord. They were all prescribed to the high priest for glory and beauty. I want you to get that. These garments were prescribed to the high priest for glory and for beauty. And you have to say, when you look at that, he looks well. He looks well. But if I could show you this morning the Lord Jesus Christ, he looks well too, doesn't he? He's wonderful. He's beautiful. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Hebrews verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, here's what it says. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So here, Paul calls him the apostle. And there's another place for Paul calls him the chief apostle. Now that blessed me when I found that studying one day. There's only one scripture where he's called the chief apostle. And I tell you, Jesus Christ is a chief apostle.
Amen.
I know a man this morning, and he's over a great organization, and I'll name no name, but you should be fit to catch it. And he tells us that the one man, what they talk about in that organization, he himself is the whole fivefold ministry, and you don't need any other ministry. Well, you know when you hear that, that's false. Because Jesus Christ is the chief apostle. And he said that he sent in the church a fivefold ministry for the edifying of the church. Till we all come into the unity scripture. It's not from God. Somebody's imagination, and it's not from the Lord. How many knows that this morning? Look at verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 3. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Now pause that for a moment, and there's a sermon William Branham preached, and if you ever get a chance, go and listen to it. You know what it's called? A Greater Than Solomon Is Here. A Greater Than Solomon Is Here. And the old whole thing is to uplift in Christ.
Amen.
It's uplifting the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to uplift some other man. And here we see that Paul says here in the Hebrew, in this writing, more glory than Moses. Now Moses, when he came down to the mountain, they couldn't look at him. He had to veil his face. When Moses met with God, he had to veil his face. They couldn't look at Moses. And he veiled his face. How many know that's the truth? But yet God was in Christ veiled. Veiled in Christ. In Christ veiled. And we talk about the tabernacle, but there is a tabernacle also from John's Gospel, which was Jesus Christ. Because he said he will come to his temple, to his tabernacle. And Jesus was the temple tabernacle that God came to. And he dwelt in him in fullness. Not in a measure, but in fullness. There's people today preach that certain men had the fullness in them, the same as Jesus Christ. That's false teaching. I'm going to tell you it straight out. That's false. I don't believe that. Jesus Christ was the only begotten of the Father, special, unique Son. And there's nobody else you can compare to the Lord, because God is his Father.
Amen.
God is his Father. Now God is his Father, and the blood that was in the veins of Jesus Christ wasn't Jewish blood or Gentile blood, but it was God's blood. He was God manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had built the house have more honor than the house. Hallelujah. God made a body, and God came to that body. Did you get that?
Amen.
Jesus was made. There was a body made.
Amen.
I'll tell you about that. Not it says made of a woman. Everybody knows the scripture says that. God made a body, and he stepped into it in fullness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's no one else like that. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. Hallelujah. He stood up and he opened the book and he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me. Hallelujah. Jesus was anointed of God, going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He came to set the oppressed free. The Lord wants to deliver, because he is a deliverer. Glory to God. The Lord Jesus Christ really takes the role now as high priest in heaven. Not just on earth, but in heaven. Now we know why he was here on earth, because he was son of David. How many knows he was son of David on earth? He come in three sons' name. Son of man, son of David, son of God. Hallelujah. How many knows that this morning? And he was here on earth. He was son of David of the tribe of Judah. You know, listen, because he was son of David of the tribe of Judah, only the sons of Aaron of the tribe of Levi were set apart for the ministry. The tribe that Jesus came from shouldn't be part of it. Do you ever read that? Well, you're going to get learned it this morning. You're going to see, as far as man goes, Jesus is off the wrong tribe. Now, we know he wasn't, but I'm talking about the law now. And I'll tell you, a lot of people still preach the law. They work with the law, heavily work with the law. They're still under it too. People's under the law. But I can assure you, we're not under the law. We believe in the scriptures of the law and all those things, but we're under Christ. We're under grace. We're not under the law. The stick will beat you enough. You don't need to cut another one for yourself. You'll be hard enough done by, I can assure you. Don't cut yourself one. And you never can get up and end, because you'll be the first man to break it. I guarantee you that. You know, it's happened to so many preachers. They expose a man publicly, and they themselves are just as big a sinner. That's the truth. I tell you, it's the Lord we need. We need love. We need love for each other. We oughtn't to come to church, I'll sort them out. That heart's wrong to start with. That's a wrong attitude to start with. You couldn't sort nobody out. God needs to sort me and you out. And I'll tell you, that's what needs sorted out. It's like somebody finds fault everywhere when you look in the mirror. That's the only trouble you'll have. I told that to the woman once, and I tell you what, she was near going to hit me. And that's the truth. Nothing suited her. And I told her, the only problem you have meets you in the mirror in the morning. She was not happy with it. Sure, it meets every one of us. Let's be honest about it. You can't sort someone else out. You can't sort yourself out. Amen. It's the Lord we need. He'll sort all of us out if we let him. Yield yourself to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7, verse 13, 14. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth not to another tribe. Listen to this. Of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. The tribe Jesus came out of wasn't the tribe that all the other priests come out of. He came out of another tribe that they didn't talk about. That's the word of God.
Amen.
Now look at chapter 8, verse 4. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, saying that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. But Jesus is no longer on earth this morning. He's in heaven. Amen. He's seated at the right hand of majesty on high. Now you hear people take that and they take it and they basically make Jesus to be nobody. But I believe that right hand means all power and all authority. And I believe the phrase sat down means the work's finished. He's done it. And he ever lives this morning to make intercession for us. We know that by a special oath. A special oath. After his resurrection and ascension, the eternal priesthood, after the order of Melchizedek came in. None of these earthly priests came in by an oath. They were ordained of men. Jesus Christ was not ordained of man, and he did not come from the tribe that was ordained of man, but he came from God.
Amen.
And he came in by an oath.
Amen.
Here it is. He could swear by no greater, so he swore by himself.
Amen.
Not by two immutable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation. What for? To lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor.
Amen.
Of the soul. In other words, this thing's sure.
Amen.
This is like the ship when she comes into dock and the anchor's let down. She'll not move. The anchor holds her. And we have an anchor. That's what it's saying. We have an anchor of the soul. There's no saved and lost here. This is an eternal salvation. Because this priest ever liveth. And he makes intercession. And he can swear by no greater. He swear by himself. He's bound to this word. Bound to it. By an oath. God keeps his word. Not only does God keep his word, but I love a wee scripture in Jeremiah that says that he watches over it to perform it and bring it to pass. When you pray and you believe God on a scripture or on an issue, you don't fulfill it because you can't. God does. Amen. We need to learn that it's not us that brings it to pass, it's God that brings it to pass. I go and I pray for my brother, he's dying of cancer. Now, if I had someone in my own self I could do it, I'd do it. I can guarantee I'd do it. Whatever it would cost, I'd be willing to do it. But God does it.
Yeah.
He tells me he does it. He tells me it's done and I rest on that. Now, whatever the outcome is, he knows better than me. Am I dependent upon him?
Yeah.
Amen. there, and Jesus came in by an oath. God has promised. He's there for us. Amen. Look at chapter 7, verse 14 to 21. Now I'm going to read this twice. I'm going to read it in King James, and I'm going to read it in my own words. Now I'm not changing it. Don't be panicking yourself. Some people, you know, have an idea that they're only allowed to read the King James Bible, and that's it, period. Well, I've got the Thompson, the Derby Bible, Schofield Bible, the Geneva Convention Bible, and the original King James. There's 16 something in it, brother. 1611. Now, I know there's modern Bibles are false. I know that, a lot of them. But there's other ones that's good as well. Amen. Now, I believe that. Maybe you don't believe it. But I'll tell you one thing. The Tyndale, how many knows the King James came a lot from the Tyndale Bible? Is that right, brother? So which one's first then? Well, the King James is not before the Tyndale. If it come from the Tyndale. Now, there's some things in the Tyndale slightly different. But it's similar. It's like explaining a word. You can explain a word from the Bible. Doesn't mean you've had it. Tell them how many understand what I'm saying. Now, we're not talking now. There is Bibles today and you can read them. And some of these brothers are more into it than I am. You can read a Bible and there's parts missing. Now, that's a Bible for the bin. That's the NIV's never intended version.
That's right.
It's for the bin. There is Bibles like that. There's some scriptures missing.
That's right.
Well, you don't want a Bible like that.
Amen.
Amen. Now we're reading the King James, is that all right?
Amen.
These are quiet. Lord, for such King James enthusiasts, these are very quiet.
Amen.
Glory to God. And all my Bibles are preached from the King James, don't worry. Amen. But I have lots of Bibles. And hopefully we have the Word of Self in us.
Yeah.
Verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood, and it is yet more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest who is made, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, for there is verily a disannulling, a disannulling. Now you're reading that in your King James. I want you to make sure you're reading it in your King James. Because some people don't believe this. They're still working with it. But there's a disannulling. A disannulling. How many knows what that means? It's done away with. You'll not be needing it. Do you know why? Because you've come up with something better. That's what it is. And it's like someone that's a picture. That shows you what it's like. That's brilliant. A shadow. Now all this that I'm preaching to you from the Old Testament is shadows. But Jesus Christ's not a shadow. He's a real thing.
Amen.
He's a real thing. That's what it's all to come up to him. The real thing. Amen. Of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitable thereof. For the law made nothing perfect. Nothing was made perfect by the law. That's what the Bible says here. Amen. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw now unto God. How? By Christ.
Yes. Amen.
How do you draw to God? By God's provided way. Stop for a moment. God is only one provided way. Jesus Christ.
That's right.
One provided way. Now I'm not saying that the law, all these things are wrong. They're there as the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We know that. That's what they're there for. Adultery and all them different things and fornication, all the law, what he said don't do, brings you to Christ. How many knows that? It pricks you. Right? But it is Christ is the one. He is God's provided way. There's no other way. You could have all these laws and all these rituals and do them and keep them, and you could live a better life than a lot of people that see it, and you'd still be lost. Now, I know you're looking at me. Some people don't believe that, but that's absolutely a fact. That's the truth. Not by works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved. By grace. You're saved because of the grace of God. I'm glad for God's grace. grace.
Amen.
I let the Lord down, but He's never let me down. I have failed Him, but He's never failed me. He's not a failure. He's not a disappointment. He's the Lord of all glory. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I want you to encourage, brother and sister. Verse 20, inasmuch as not without an oath He was made priest. Not without an oath. All the other priests come in with no oath. But Jesus not only came in to be your priest, but He basically sealed the deal.
Yes, amen.
He's given you His word that I'm your priest, He's saying. I am your priest. I'm in heaven. I'm praying for you. I'm interceding for you. We can see an example of it in Peter.
Hallelujah.
Peter, I prayed for you.
Yes, yes.
And when you are converted, Peter, you will strengthen your brethren. And we know when the day of glory to God,
amen,
when the day of Pentecost was fully come,
amen,
they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly, hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll tell you, the wind come through, didn't it?
Glory.
The power came through. Pillar of fire come through the place. Flowing tongues of fire rested in every one of them. And Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost,
amen,
he's converted now. Hallelujah. This Peter stoops up and starts to preach. And he says, these scriptures must needs be fulfilled. And he preaches from the Old Testament, from the book of Joel, and he brings it right up to the present day, and the power of God falls. And 3,000 are converted. Hallelujah. I tell you, that was a real Pentecostal meeting. May God give us a little bit of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You talk about tongues, it was tongues there, brother. Amen. They heard them preach in their own language when they're born, glory to God. And there was lots of different languages, so there was lots of different tongues.
Yes.
Oh, I tell you, you see this idea of one tongue. When you hear somebody talking about that, they know nothing about tongues. There's tongues of man, and there's tongues of angels. Hallelujah. There's different tongues. And there's diversity of gifts, praise God. And tongues are real. Never let nobody tell you that tongues are not real. There is real speaking in tongues. And you'll know it, for the power of God's always with it. The anointing comes with tongues. I believe that. I tell you, I've seen demons myself screaming when real tongues operated. They got disturbed. The devils got disturbed. And they had to go out, and they did go out, praise God. Hallelujah. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. There you are. God's not going to change it.
Amen.
Aren't you glad God's not going to change it?
Amen.
That's like a brother Gary said, he's as well saved now as if he was saved. That's so true. We think, oh, maybe they were saved then, but they're not saved. People said to me, maybe they were saved years ago, but are they saved now? Well, glory to God, if they're saved years ago, they're still saved.
Amen.
If they never moved for 30 years, they're still saved.
Amen.
God saved them at the start, they're still saved.
Amen.
Oh, but they never done nothing, they don't have to. God done it for them.
Amen.
That's the thing about it, no works. It's a whole different thing you're talking about. Reward into heaven and all them. That's a whole different subject. We're not talking about that. Once you're in the door, you're in. How many knows that? If you come in through the door into this building, you are in the building. Where you sit here, it's another thing, but you're in. And Jesus Christ is the one door in. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ain't that the Lord? Aren't you glad for that this morning?
Glory.
He was after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord swore and will not repent. There are the priests forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let me read you this statement. And God represented himself once in fullness beforehand. Follow me. In the book of Genesis, in the order of Melchizedek, who had no father, no mother, no beginning of days, no ending of years, no ending of life, and he was a priest, a king of Salem, a priest of the most of God, of the Most High God.
that where he is. Not only that, but Abraham paid tithes to him. And if somebody else did as well, and they weren't even born, what do you think of that one? How many knows this is the Bible here we're preaching from? No father, show me another man with no father, no mother, no ascent, no descent. You're showing me God. I'm telling you now, he made himself a body and stepped into it. And he comes and he meets Abraham from the slaughter of kings. And what did he say to Abraham? I am thy exceeding shield and great reward. You think it was somebody else? It was God. He blessed him. Not only did he bless him, he gave him a promise of a coming son. And we've been given a promise of a coming son. Jesus is coming again. Amen. But he was none other than the prefigure of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was King of Salem, King of Peace, which is King of Jerusalem. He was a prefigure, even the patriarch Abraham paid tithe to him. He was a prefigure of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same Melchizedek met Abraham out in the plains before the destroying of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he met him after Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham paid him tithes of all the spoils that he had taken from the king. Praise God. Now Jesus Christ is not after the order what the Old Testament priests were, but Melchizedek. He's a king. He's a king. Get this. If you don't get the other part, get this part. He's a king. I could say a lot of things. People would look at me, but it doesn't bother me at all. I'm going to say this one more thing here. This is a revelation revealed in the last days who Melchizedek is. Did you know that? It's one of the hidden mysteries at the end time that was to make known who these different ones are. Melchizedek's one of them. Original sin is another one. How many knows them things this morning? That's absolutely the truth. We are living in the last days. God has promised us revelation. How many knows the wine stimulates you?
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost stimulates
Glory.
You? How many knows that it's time?
Amen.
Stimulation. Glory. Revelation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ did not usurp this honor, but rather his Father who said to him in Hebrews 5 verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. God done it. God done it. God put Jesus Christ in the position to be our high priest. And I tell you, isn't that wonderful? Aaron's ministry was carried out in all weakness. Listen to this morning. Aaron's ministry was carried out in all weakness in the tabernacle that stood in the wilderness of Sinai. The Lord Jesus Christ exercises his ministry as high priest in the glory of heaven in the heavenly sanctuary.
Amen.
And his ministry is unchangeable and eternal.
Amen.
The earthly one could change. All right, sister. The earthly ministry could change. Aaron, these earthly ministries that was carried out from Aaron could change. They did change. How many knows they changed? Now, it's amazing this morning that there's people not far from here and they still think they're under this. They still have an earthly priest that you have to go and tell them everything. But what if he's a bigger sinner than the man that's in him? And he probably is. Who would you tell everything to? I know even some people that claims that they're Pentecost and other ones message believers. I'm going to tell this morning. Some people might like it and not bother me one bit. The truth will set you free.
Amen.
They have priests leading them.
Right.
But God doesn't give you a priest can be a pastor. That's true. I believe that. But for you to sit down and to tell some man all your sins. I remember meeting the minister years ago and he got me in his office and he wanted me to tell him everything. Everything I'd ever done. You know what I said to him? I said, brother, did you ever hear when the devil come to Luther? What do you mean, brother? I said, well, you need to read about it. I'm going to remind you of it now. And I took a pen of his desk for I was sitting and wrote on it, brother. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed small sin and it turned it into his fist. Amen. And said, "Do you see that?" I have a confession to no man. Amen. That man could be a bigger sinner than me. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I remember preaching in the blood of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God was moving in the meeting. And ministers over the people got them to line up and have a confession session. That's a Roman Catholic doctrine. And it is false. It is Jesus as your high priest. You meet him. You and him. Just you and him. And you confess to him. And when you confess to him, nobody has a right to bring that up. There's a sign up, no fishing. I'm telling you, the sins of thy youth will I remember no more. That's the word of God. They're gone. Into the sea of God's forgetfulness. You know God can forget? He forgets our sins. They're removed. Not only they're removed, the Bible goes further. It says, as far as the east is from the west, God removes them from us. That's what our high priest does for us. We don't need some earthly priest that we sit and confess to. And I'm going to tell you a wee thing now, brethren. I was there and I know what I'm preaching about. They brought the people back into bondage after the Lord bringing them out of it. They brought them back into bondage. The Lord brought them out of it. They heard a message on the blood and they come out of bondage. But you know what? Some men want to get the glory and they don't want the Lord to have it. They think they're something. And do you know brother so-and-so, he has some ministry? Well, I would doubt it. But an old man called Jesus, and I'll tell you, he's some ministry. Amen. You want to hear him? Amen? Amen. Is that the truth? I tell you, all the men of God that I've known of and read of, William Branham, Wigglesworth, all them men were humble. Every one of them was humble men. You confess to the Lord. And you get alone with the Lord, even if it's something, I don't know what it is, I wouldn't want to know anything about it. You see, when you confess to Jesus Christ, he doesn't have a board that he confers with. Now follow me. You might think this is rubbish. Where are you going, Pastor Samuel? You better open your ears up and listen. Get the wax out. The Lord's no board he confers with. Did you hear brother so-and-so done? You know he done this and he done that. He sinned and he done this and he done that. The Lord doesn't work with that. You're washed, you're clean, it's gone. Amen. But you get some earthly priest. They're not keeping to themselves. They'll tell somebody. And somebody will tell somebody else. And the mouse becomes the elephant. And you ever notice any preachers over the years? And this is the truth. You go and you look yourself. Preachers that were caught, that did fall, they multiplied. They make it sound worse than it is. Now, even if it's wrong, they make it worse. That's for the world. The glory. And man said, I tell you something. You know, when in the Bible, when the man went out and he was killed, and you know the scripture said, publish it not in Garth. How the mighty have fallen in battle. When a man of God falls, we should be crying. We should be weeping. We shouldn't be rejoicing over it. And I'll tell you, the man that's at the forefront, that's the man the devil's after. You need to pray for him. Yes. Amen!
Amen, yes!
Hebrews 6, verse 19, 20. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which is entered into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. How could you lose your salvation when you have a priest that liveth forever? This priesthood will never be changed. How many knows it says in Revelations, an everlasting gospel? Some people say Israel will receive a different gospel from us. They'll receive the same one, because there is only one. The seal of God is the Holy Spirit to us, and the seal of God to the Jews will be the same Holy Ghost. There's no other seal. How many knows that? It's the same seal of God. Hebrews 7:28, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh a son who is consecrated forevermore. Let me put it in this church words, for the law sets up men in their own weakness, frail, sinful, dying human beings. The law can set a man up like that as high priest, but the word of God, oath, which was spoken later after the institution of the law, chooses and appoints as priest one whose appointment is complete and permanent. A son who has been perfected forever. Turn, brother, to Psalms 110, verse 4. Psalms 110, verse 4. Look what it says in Psalms 110, verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, an everlasting priesthood that continueth forever. Goodness, I didn't realize the time was. I'm gonna quit. Time's going. Is that the right time? I didn't even know it was that time. I haven't said a thing. Let's turn with Corinthians with me. I'm sorry. I didn't realize the time. I planned, you know, I wanted to just be 20 minutes and have the communion and leave some time free for people to pray, or if someone wanted prayer, or someone felt strongly to pray for someone, if it's really of the Lord. And look, we can still do that if the Lord leads that. I want us to be free in this fellowship for God to move. How many wants that? Amen. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So every one of us need to examine ourselves. And if we feel or suffer not right, I've told you, you have a high priest this morning. You can pray to him where you're sitting. This is the wonderful thing about our priest. Here's the thing about our high priest. If I was an earthly priest, in the sense, on how to chair here, and I said to everybody in this church, you have to confess to me. I'm never going to do that. I don't believe that. But I'm just giving you an example. Let's say we start and we go through everybody. I can only hear one person at a time. And them people, what they would call wrong, I could have done worse myself. But Jesus Christ can hear everyone. Everyone. He can hear the cry of every single one, because he's supernatural. He's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man he needs to repent. Is that the word of God? He can hear you this morning. So as you come round this table, you pray in yourself to the Lord. You examine yourself. If you think you're not, for you should be. All you have to do is pray to your high priest. You've been given a name. You can come to God through Jesus Christ. You don't have to be loud. God can hear a whisper. How many knows that? And you can pray to the Lord, and the Lord will hear you. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sick and weak amongst you. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That ye come not together unto condemnation, the rest will I set in order when I come. We're going to come round the Lord's table this morning. I'm going to ask the deacons if they'd come. Maybe a sister could maybe just play something softly if she would. We're going to pray over these amulets this morning.